Yeah, buddy.
All right, Leonard.
This is it, huh? The unknown number.
What?
I say this is it, the
Yeah,
unknown
the
number.
unknown. People don't like to pick up the
Yeah.
unknown numbers, so that's why I always
Yeah,
call them.
definitely.
Cool. So I'm just recording this for, my transcription purposes.
Okay.
I'll start off, the last time we saw you in action obviously was in March, the loss to Mike Brown in your home state. If you, I don't want to harp too much on it, but if you could just tell me, like, how disappointing was that? I mean, I know that was such a big fight and a big moment for you, and then to lose in the title match there. Can you share some of your
Yeah.
thoughts on it all?
It was one of those things, man, where I just I believed in myself too much. Like I believed in and I went too far ahead of the game. Like I started to believe everybody was telling me, oh, you know what? You know, when they watch me practice or spar against me or train against me, they're like, man, if you touch him, he's gone. Like that's the end of it. Like without a doubt. You hit him one time, it's over with. I started to believe that, and there was times in training. We do a pretty long sparring session here at Jackson's. We do about a 45 minutes of straight sparring, and there was a couple of days that I can recall right off the top of my head that I knocked a guy out in the very first session, and this was with 16-ounce gloves and headgear on, and basically, man, just thought I was that good, so I hung gloves up and went home for the day, you know. And I feel like Mike fought an in-shape Leonard Garcia. Like I was ready to go, I was ready to fight, but I let the anxiety get the better of me. I made early mistakes. Like I kind of felt like I was in my first fight again. So basically, man, I turned the negative into a positive because I was so mad at myself because of the outcome and the way it went. I just felt like I didn't get to show anything, and it definitely changed a lot of things in training. And in me, it made me a better fighter. So, now the Leonard Garcia that everybody sees coming out now, I'm going to give the credit to Mike Brown for that because, I mean, he started a fire and I'm coming back after him. So, I want him to see what he did, you know?
Some people talk about, like, I've heard guys like Matt Serra say that they actually don't like fighting around their hometowns. There's like too much other stuff. Even Miguel Torres talked about that in Chicago. Looking back now, do you wish that the title fight didn't happen in Texas?
I'm glad that it did, but it's just the simple fact that I went out for 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of hard training, that I went out and did a press tour, right before the fight. That was a stupid mistake on my part. I should have just turned it down and said no. I missed 3 days training, my second week, and then 3 days training, my last week of training, and those are two very important weeks. And I did it because it was in my hometown. They really wanted to pump me, so it turned out to be a good thing because a lot of people seen got to hear my name and got to see me out there, and I got in contact with the fans. But it turned out to be real negative because I mean, you could tell by my physique that I wasn't quite where I should have been when especially for a title fight. That comes with the hometown thing, and then. I wouldn't say it's so much pressure because, I mean, pressure usually makes a good situation for me, but, missing them things of, them weeks of practice and all of that combined into it was kind of a bad deal for me. But if I had to do it all over again, I'd just go back, wouldn't do the press tours and get prepared to fight, the way I should have. But either way, man, no excuses. Mike did his job that night, and he caught me with a good punch, and then, he hurt me pretty good, and then he finished me. So I mean, that's nobody's fault but my own. So I'll take that one. I'll
Right.
eat that one with a grain of salt.
And going into that fight, a lot of people were saying that Brown, who knows, was it a lucky punch with Faber and all that stuff? Did he surprise you? Like, did you maybe not take him as seriously as you should have, looking back now?
If you would have told me that Brown was going to even attempt to stand up with me, I'd have thought you were crazy, and he did, he came up right over the top of my left hook with the right hand, and it did, man. It caught me good. Of course, I was able to recover a lot better than Faber. I think I can take a better punch than he can. And, even Brown said that, when he hit Faber, it was at the beginning of the punch, like he caught him kind of when he jumped into it, but he was like barely starting to wrench into it. And he was like, when I hit you, I hit you with everything I had. I mean, it was at the very, very end of my punch, and I had, he told me he closed his eyes and swung as hard as he could. So, you know, I mean, it did, man. It shocked me. I my legs just didn't work at that time. You know, I was trying to stand back up, and they were gone. So, it was a shock to see that somebody could drop me at that weight. And I mean, you know, like you said, man, at this level, you can't look past anybody in any aspect. And that's one thing that I did make a mistake on. I thought he was going to wrestle, so I lowered my level to get ready for a shot. And he came up with the overhand, so it was something that I overlooked, and you know, he capitalized on it.
All right, and final question.
And it wasn't a lucky punch. Like, you know, with Uriah, they said that was a lucky punch. In my fight, I don't feel that it was a lucky punch at all. He placed it perfectly. He did it at the right time, so it was definitely good technique.
All right, and final question on all this. How long after the loss did it take for you to get over it, get back into the gym, you know, just kind of move on with your career and think about the next things coming up?
1 week.
That's it. So you took a week off, just chilled.
Yeah,
and then...
I took 1 week off. Yeah, I took 1 week off, and during that week, it was killing me, man. I was back home in Texas. I actually went to Six Flags for a couple of days, and within the third day off, I was already calling Greg, telling him I wanted to come back to the gym, and he was like, "No, finish out the rest of your week out there. Come back, we'll start working some things." But it definitely, for sure, you know, like it. He definitely made a negative positive thing, because, I mean, it made me hungry to get back in there. I feel like I'm fighting again for the first time. Like, I there's something out there that I really want, and that, you know, I know what I have to do to get it.
And now when you're training for Jamil, do you keep thinking about it? I mean, is this something hanging over your head, so to speak, or are you sort of over it?
You know, in training now for Jamil, it's like one of the things that motivates me about this fight is he fought, you know, a Sun Tzu to a decision. And he's usually a finisher, and I'm usually a finisher. So, when I look back at the Brown fight, I used to just watch a clip of it every day at the beginning of this camp, and just used to watch it every day, kind of like it was hanging over my head, like you were saying. But then I started thinking, you know, I have to start thinking about the next guy at hand. I can't just be thinking about what Mike did to me. So, you know, I started watching all of Jamil's fights and just turned my attention towards him. So, you know, right now, as of you know, this camp, when it started, it was about Mike Brown, but right now it's all about Jamil Masao. And you know, I feel like when we get out there and we fight each other, he's going to know that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that you were doing like a new conditioning program or something like that for this fight. Is that true? And if so, can you talk a bit about it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a lady named DJ that used to come in. She looks like a drill sergeant.
What's her name? Sorry, like you broke up there for a second. What was her name? DJ?
DJ.
Okay.
And she looks like a drill sergeant. And we thought she was like a military lady. And we used to watch her, you know, work out with a bunch of guys in there. And we started noticing, like, significant gains in these guys' game. Like they started, you know, being faster, quicker, stronger. And you know, I just basically, man, went over and talked to her. And she was like, "Man, I've been wanting to work with you since day one." She was like, "Every day that I watch you, I think, you know, you have what it takes to be one of the greatest fighters out there. It's just you never do any strength and conditioning." She was like, "I've always tripped out on that." So we talked for briefly, and I asked Greg if I could start working with her, and he set her up, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for me, and she's been killing me every day, man. Like, it's something, it, you know, out of a comic book, really. I mean, like, I might show up on weight when I get there. It's a really tough thing to go through. But, you know, basically strength and conditioning was something that I was missing in all my other fights. And you know, she's putting my punching power through the roof. She's putting my grappling skills. Because now I don't worry about gassing. Like, I go in there every round trying to get tired, because I'm so not able to, like, it's hard for me to get tired because of the stuff that she puts me through on those 3 days. So I'm really, really excited for this fight, man. I want to come out and you know, I always push the pace, but right now I feel like it's a different level of being able to do that. And being that I'm in such good condition, I'm making smarter decisions. You know, when you get tired, you tend to just to do things out on a whim, you know, to try to get yourself out of the situation. I'm not worried about getting tired anymore. So I'm thinking about everything. Every move is calculated. So it's a good thing for me. And you know, again, man, credit to Mike Brown, because I knew that I needed to do strength and conditioning after that.
All right, and what about Jamil? I mean, he made his debut in April. He lost, but prior to that, he was on an impressive streak. What do you think are his biggest strengths and, conversely, his biggest weaknesses?
You know, Jamil's a complete fighter, man. He's got good kickboxing and good jiu-jitsu. He says he's a good wrestler, but I've never seen it. I think wrestling is going to be his weak point. He thinks that he'll be able to take me to the ground whenever he gets in trouble on his feet. It's going to be a problem for him. So I feel like, you know, unless he's been working takedowns since that fight, then, you know, he better hope for a long night. Like I said, I think I'm a better fighter than he is. And I just feel like a lot of things that he does, I can do them better. But he is pretty dangerous on his feet. Decent kicks to the liver, decent kicks, you know, I didn't see him throw very many high kicks against the Sunstyle. I guess he was scared of getting taken down. But, you know, I've never really seen too much punching power out of him, just more in his legs. But, you know, I got guys like Dwayne Ludwig and Cowboy, you know, kickboxing with me every day. I feel like there's nothing that Jamil's going to do that I haven't seen in the gym. So, I mean, I hope he changed up a lot since the Sunstyle fight, because if he hasn't, he's in trouble.
Yeah, is this this fight, you know, it's not on the schedule right now to be like on the versus portion of the card, and it's this guy who's like sort of desperate, you know, like it's a kind of a dangerous fight for someone like you, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, does that stuff come into play, like that, oh, you're not going to be on the live portion, you're fighting this sort of unknown guy who has one loss in WEC? Are those like factors that come into play when you're thinking about the fight and sort of analyzing it at home at night and all that stuff?
No, the way I see it, if I perform the way I'm supposed to, it'll make the television card. And as far as that goes, you know, I know I'm one of the guys that you know, like everybody's asking why I'm not on the televised card. But in reality, after my last fight, man, they could have put me in the alley with Jamil, and I would be happy just to get a win. I don't feel like television is as important as other fighters do. I feel like getting the win is the most important thing. So, you know, if it makes TV, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, I'm not really worried about that. I know after this fight, I'll make a television portion of the card or later on in the future. You know, I've had some TV time and I feel pretty good about that. But, you know, being that, you know, he is kind of an unknown guy, you know, of course we know who he is because, you know, he's been around for a long time, but that stuff doesn't bother me at all. Cerrone's been on the undercard several times and you know, he's one of the top fighters in the weight class. So I don't even care about that, man. You know, at this point, I'm just ready to get in there and fight.
And just to forget the bad taste of the last fight, right? Get it out of your mouth.
Yeah, definitely. I have to get that out of my mouth. And the only way I'm going to do that is by fighting. I tried to get on the June card as hard as I could. Like, I begged Reed. I called everybody I could. I called Peter. I called everyone. And I really, really wanted to fight as soon as possible. So I'm just hungry to get back in there, man. Whether it makes TV or if it doesn't, you know, that's just something that the fans might have to miss. Either way, I'm going to go out there and perform. So it's like Reed said, man, if you do – you know, if you fight to your ability, it's going to make the television portion of the card. No worries. And I was like, well, that's the least of my worries. The top of the list is to get the win, however it may come.
Right. And you mentioned Donald. There was I saw on Donald's MySpace that you guys, like, rented out your house to fighters so they can come stay there. Is that true that guys can come in or that you're doing some sort of thing like that, a fighter house, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah, we're bringing him in, and it starts in 2 weeks. He kind of wanted to start it pretty much at the end of my camp and at the start of his. But really what we're doing, man, is just trying to give a guy, you know, a fighter out there, you know, an opportunity to see what it is. You know, like there's so many guys that must face us every day. They're like, oh, I'm 25-0 and I really want to get in there. And we're like, well, who do you train with? And they're like, oh, I train in the garage. So we're trying to give somebody an opportunity to come out and see what it really takes and to see if that's something that they're hungry for. I mean, this is a tough place to come out and try to prove yourself. And basically, man, what we're doing is we're bringing four fighters every month, and we're giving them 1 month to prove themselves. And if they can make it back on their own, you know, we're just going to get their foot in the door. And if they make it back, then they do. And if they don't, well, we tried. And we think it'll be good, you know, to change up, you know, views and different people. You know, who knows, we might get, you know, the next Anderson Silva down here, the next, you know, big thing, you know, down here for a month, and it'll be good for us to train. But the way coach is doing it is they'll run their practice, like, with the pro team, but they're completely out of our camp unless they're good enough to be in there against us. Then he'll stick them in there with us. So it's not going to affect us training, but it's still giving these guys an opportunity, and they're going to live with us. So they'll be able to see what we go through every day, and, you know, we're going to bring a film crew out and see how it does.
Oh, really? And is this your house that you're giving up?
Yeah, me and Cowboy.
Well, so where are you going to live?
That house. Here in Albuquerque. It's actually a couple of the rooms in our house. We have a five-bedroom house.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, and that's kind of the way we run things anyways. Like when Rashad and George and everybody used to come down, they would all stay here. And, you know, we would all eat together. We would all go train together. And we would all just, you know, like mess around and you know, basically, man, just have fighting in their environment the whole time. And we feel like it makes training fun. It doesn't make it like a job. So, I mean, you and I both know when you're having fun at something, you know, it doesn't take anything from you. And when it becomes a job is when you start to really feel the bad effects of it. So we're just trying to keep, you know, a new perspective on it, and we think it's a good idea. You know, it might come back and backfire and shoot us in the foot, but we're gonna give it a try anyway.
And you're not like collecting any money from these guys or anything like that.
Or
are you?
Basically, they pay $500 a month,
okay,
each person, plus they have to pay for their own groceries, and we give half of that to Greg Jackson, to the school, to increase revenue at the school, and then we keep the other half for bills or whatever else, and then they pay for groceries. So, you know, it's four people every month, so that's an extra $1,000 for us a month, an extra $1,000 for Greg a month, and then, you know, they're all pitching in on their own groceries. So, you know, we're benefiting a little bit, but, you know, in the long run, we hope that it just gives somebody an opportunity to come out and make it.
Cool, awesome. Finally, before I let you go, I just want to get your thoughts. Obviously, there's a title fight coming up, Jose Aldo, Mike Brown later this year. Who do you think is going to win?
I'd like to see Aldo win because I think me and Aldo would be a matchup in the future that would give the fans exactly what they want to see. Two guys who basically do what Uriah and Mike just did, except for not wrestling, you know, standing up. And I think that's more of an explosive fight. So if Aldo won, man, I'd like to be, you know, win this fight and then maybe have to fight another big name and then get the winner of those two. And, you know, like I said, man, I like Mike Brown a lot, but, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm kind of pulling for Aldo because I like my chances in the Aldo fight. And, I mean, even if Mike wins, it's definitely somebody that, you know, when I fight Mike, I want to get the title and have him come, try to come take it from me, you know?
Right, right.
I think that would be a little bit sweeter. So, you know, I'm hoping that's how the cards play out. Of course, Uriah will be in that mix somewhere. You know, maybe after I get this through this next fight, you know, Brown's kind of tied up with Aldo. So, I don't know, man. Maybe me and Uriah can mix it up.
Nice. Okay, and give us the prediction. How's your fight going to end?
I hate doing predictions, but it's going to end badly for Masao. Either a knockout or submission in the first round.
Awesome. All right, Leonard, I always appreciate the time, man, and thank you very much. And also, best of luck to you on the 9th. Looking forward to hopefully getting to see you on Versus.
Cool, man. I hope you guys get to see me also. But if not, man, a later time, I'll be on there. And thank you for doing the interview, man. Without you guys, you know, we our names don't get out there, so I appreciate you.
Awesome. Check it out. This will run early next week on Versus.com.
Sounds good, buddy.
Take care.
All right, thank you.